97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, a busy Thursday morning here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Just finished carrying most of a live news conference there with Pete Hegseth and General Kane at the Pentagon, talking about the after effects of the bombing in Iran and the media trying desperately to protect Iran and claim that not enough damage was done by 15, 30,000 pound massive ordnance penetrators. Yeah. You can go sell that somewhere else. So Pete Hegseth wasn't having any of it, and we're going to continue talking about that this hour. Kim St. Ange and Ethan Bryden here with me. We'll get to Sue Thomas in a minute. But we're going to get Shannon Bream on. Couldn't have a better person coming up to discuss this from the as a news anchor and watching this from the Fox News desk, I'm sure, this morning there in Washington. And, of course, Griff Jenkins will be along a little bit later in the hour as well. Kim, your thoughts after watching that news conference?
Yeah, you know, I think that Hegseth and General Kane were just very adamant that this attack did exactly what it was intended to do. And they emphasized the fact that, look, what's come out so far with this preliminary report is just that. It's preliminary. And over the next number of days, they'll be having to work to determine, I guess, the severity of the attack, because like you said earlier, Mark, it's not as simple as, hey, you know what, let's just send someone to actually walk over to the site and go ahead and check it out.
Yeah, we're gonna drop some paratroopers in and check that out, and we'll get back with you tomorrow.
Be fine.
That's not quite how that works, is it? No, we know that. All right, it's also a big day for the Supreme Court. In less than an hour, so at 9 a.m. Our time, 10 a.m. Central, or 10 a.m. Eastern, I should say, 9 a.m. our time, the Supreme Court will drop its next round of decisions. And they've got to drop a bunch of them because they've got today and tomorrow, and then this session is over with for the United States Supreme Court, I believe. Shannon Bream can talk about that a little bit when we get her in here in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. Right now, I want to get to our top stories, though.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We think we hit them so hard and so fast they didn't get to move. And if you knew about that material, it's very hard and very dangerous to move.
Yeah, that was the president yesterday saying that all these reports that, you know, Iran was able to load all of its yellow cake processed uranium onto a truck and drive it out of there. Who was driving it? Because that guy's probably glowing bright green this morning.
The DIA themselves have now come out and said this was a preliminary report and this CNN story got it completely wrong. But that reporter is a sheep and she's a mouthpiece for people who don't like Donald Trump.
One of the ones that led the reporting on the fake Steele dossier before she worked for CNN. Then CNN hired her because they were apparently so proud of her crappy work.
Asking questions is literally our job. Demanding facts and answers instead of just taking a president's word for it.
That's Jake Tapper. That's Jake Tapper saying, defending that the media is there to ask questions instead of just taking the president's word for it. After ignoring the mental decline of Joe Biden that was obvious to anyone for four straight years, now he wants you to believe the media is there to ask serious questions.
We all remember Jordan, right? If you were a Chicago Bulls fan, you knew that he was the GOAT. And he was the great. Every time he went out, he punished everyone. President Trump is the new Michael Jordan of government.
Oh, man. I got to get me some GOAT shoes, don't you think? Instead of Jordans, I'm going to get some Trumps.
I'm surprised Trump doesn't wear something that says GOAT.
Like bright gold tennis shoes or something?
Wasn't he selling? He had watches. What has Trump not sold? Bibles, watches. He needs to get something that says GOAT on it and sell that.
To his credit, I think it's the family enterprise that's selling that and not directly him. But still, it's got his
name on it.
Organization's name on it. You need to get you a gold phone and some gold shoes.
It'd be like a gold tooth, and each tooth has GOAT on it.
I just want to get a T-shirt with one of these massive ordnance penetrators on it. That's what I want to walk around with, a T-shirt that says MOP on the front of it.
I'd like to see the reaction from some of the liberals as you walk around. Yeah. But Mark, you know, you of all people, you are not afraid at all to wear a T-shirt that people would look at as, that's controversial, that's offensive.
You are correct.
You do not care, which I respect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you for that. So here's the bite of the day from the news conference. In case you missed the whole thing earlier, this is the bite of the day. So the reporter she's going to ask a gotcha question to Pete Hegseth, because remember he said the boys in the planes are on their way back. They did a great job. Well, they found out there was a female pilot, and that was not good enough for the media. So they decided they're going to go after Hegseth for being a sexist, for daring to say that. And Pete did not play very well with this young lady today. Here you go.
Acknowledge the female pilots that also participated in this mission. The early messages that you sent out only congratulated the boys.
So when I say something like our boys in bombers, see, this is the kind of thing the press does, right? Of course, the chairman mentioned a female bomber pilot. That's fantastic. She's fantastic. She's a hero. I want more female bomber pilots. I hope the men and women of our country sign up to do such brave and audacious things. But when you spin it as, because I say our boys and bombers as a common phrase, I'll keep saying things like that, whether they're men or women, very proud of that female pilot, just like I'm very proud of those male pilots. And I don't care if it's a male or a female in that cockpit, and the American people don't care. But it's the obsession with race and gender in this department that's changed priorities. We don't do that anymore. We don't play your little games.
And the point is, I don't care if it's a male or a female pilot, but it's not going to be a male who thinks he's a female or a female that thinks he's a male. So there will be clear gender distinctions, but Pete Hegseth doesn't care which one of those chromosome-carrying people are flying the airplane.
You know, it's so funny because a number of our listeners who are tuning in on Facebook, by the way, thank you for doing that. They're commenting, you know, they want the female pilot recognized, but men and women sports, that's just different. So they get to pick and choose when it matters and what a woman is. You know what I mean? That's what's really funny about it, too.
Well, and they're going to keep doing that. But I do have to say that if you've watched Hegseth today, you start to understand. Like the first time, remember back to the first time you watched J.D. Vance after Donald Trump named him as his vice president. And at first you might, like me, have wondered why he picked Vance over somebody else. And then it dawned on you, because once you heard Vance slice and dice a couple of network reporters over their nonsense, you started to realize what Donald Trump saw in him. He saw leadership and an intelligence and an ability to think on his feet and to answer questions. What you saw at the Pentagon today was the same thing. It's what he saw in Pete Hegseth, a longtime veteran of foreign wars who's now leading the Pentagon with common sense and no nonsense. Not politically correct. And that's exactly why Donald Trump named him to that position. And the media has tried to take him out because of that little texting problem that they all tried to blow out of proportion. And then this thing went off seamlessly. So you understand now as you watch it. All right, quick break here because we have Shannon Bream from Fox News Sunday coming up. Stay tuned. Well, Shannon, welcome back. Of course, you know where I had to start this morning, right?
Exactly, where a lot of folks started their morning, which was this briefing out of the Pentagon.
Well, I mean, anything surprising out of that to you? I mean, I think it was interesting to hear General Kane describe just how technically accurate these weapons were and that they knew what they were facing. And I felt like I was watching, Maverick Top Gun, because they had to hit the ventilator shaft. And it was a pretty amazing description.
It was. And what Chairman Kane has been so good at, I think, is humanizing this as well, talking about the young women and men behind these operations and exactly what they were facing and how they stepped up and did incredible things. And I think you're right. From the minute we started talking about this on Saturday night, I was like, I've seen this movie. We all have a feeling, if you've seen Top Gun Maverick, that you know just how difficult this is. Obviously, that's a different situation. But the precision, the training, all the things that are happening for years that we don't know about that goes into. So when these missions come available, the opportunity, the window is there, our men and women are ready to go.
How do you feel? I just want to ask you a personal question here. I'm sure you know Jennifer Griffin. She's worked for Fox for years. Hegseth made a pretty pointed attack on her today, saying that she was one of the worst. I don't know where that came from. How does it make you feel when you hear things like that?
You know, it's a little tricky because obviously we've all been colleagues. And so we do have a relationship of having work together essentially on the same team.
Right.
I think they're both very independent voices. And I think that They're both going to go with the information that they believe is correct and right and true according to their sources. They have different sources, maybe some of the same sources. So it's just one of those things that, like, you know, essentially we've been in the same family, and I think that there's affection there, but clearly there's some frustration there too.
Yeah, you pick up on that for sure.
Shannon, in about, what is it, like 40 minutes or so, we're expecting the Supreme Court to release mm-hmm. more decisions. And I mean, we're in crunch time now. What are you keeping a close eye on today?
So I think the biggest one that we are awaiting is nationwide injunctions. Can a single federal judge anywhere, we know there are about 700 of them across the country, shut down a law, an executive order, a policy for the entire country? It's the biggest case of the term. They added these May 15th arguments. They never argue a case in May. That's the really big one. But we've also got cases that deal with, you know, funding for Planned Parenthood through government funding of Medicaid. We've got this case that's in our area here in the D.C. area that could ripple far beyond it, which is, can parents opt their kids out of lessons with books that they find objectionable to their religious faith if they're in public school? So we've got 10 left. We'll see what we get today, and we'll see if they finish up on time tomorrow. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the big one, I guess, last week was the decision on trans surgeries mm-hmm. in Tennessee, correct? Because that's going to have an impact here in Missouri.
The thing is, there are more than two dozen states that have very similar laws that will now have, you know, essentially the blessing of the Supreme Court if they pretty closely mirror what was done in Tennessee. And we were a little surprised to get that last week, because normally we think it's, you know, one of the biggest ones. It's going to be last week. But they did surprise us a little bit with that 6-3 ruling. And some people would argue it was sort of a 6.5, 2.5, because Justice Kagan wasn't fully with the dissent, but she was, you know, with a good chunk of the dissent. But essentially, you know, what the Chief Justice said is, listen, this law passes the constitutional muster test. And because of that, we leave this to the states, the people, their elected representatives, to work out issues like this one.
Going back to what you mentioned about funding, I think it was for Planned Parenthood and maybe as it relates to Medicaid, mm-hmm. that's in the mm-hmm. Big Beautiful Bill, right? So how would that be different? Because I thought the Big Beautiful Bill basically would pull funding from Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and you know, they've tried to do this so many times in so many different ways, the GOP has. So we'll see what survives the so-called parliamentarian review in the Senate, what survives in the bill, what gets back to the House. You know, we're just not sure exactly what will end up in the final thing that gets to the president's desk. This case comes out of South Carolina, where the governor has issued an executive order twice saying that, you know, Medicaid funding can't flow to Planned Parenthood because there's a chance that money's fungible, that it could flow to abortion, which is against federal policy and federal law in almost every case. There are some exceptions. So a lot of states are watching this to see, because if South Carolina wins the right to do this, to say, listen, Medicaid can go to all these other clinics and family planning and all these different things, but if there's an abortion there, then the governor has the right to block the funding. It'll be really interesting to see what the ripple effect is if the court makes that decision.
Yeah, and now there's less than a week till they've got to pass this, right? I mean, I know mm-hmm. it's not a hard deadline, but the mm-hmm. president wants them to stay in Washington until they get this done. Do you think that's realistic?
Senator Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, told me last week that he would keep them here.
Oh.
And so he's like, if the Senate is still running up against this holiday situation, I'm going to keep them here. So they are all very much on notice that that could be their weekend. The House seems to think they'd have a little bit of time, but the Speaker says, I'll bring them back next week on a holiday week. If the Senate gets its work done, we'll be here to pick up wherever they drop this bill in our lap.
So is your big guest this week going to be Zohran Mandani?
You know what? Don't laugh. We asked for him.
Well, I'm sure.
I would like that interview.
We reached out to him and I said, listen, is this the future of the Democrat Party? The establishment here in D.C. seems a little rattled that they don't really want this to be kind of their spokesperson for the future. But we asked because I got a lot of questions for him. So they haven't said no. They haven't said yes, but we'll see.
Well, you know, Curtis Sliwa has run for that office several times. And I mean, if he ever had a chance, this might be the year.
Yeah. And apparently his team has got some polling that they believe there's a lane for him.
Okay.
If these other folks are in and kind of dice and slice the other votes that are available.
Yeah.
So, stranger things have happened.
That's for sure. Do you have anybody else confirmed you want to talk about for Sunday?
We do. We actually have two senators from across the aisle who've agreed to come on together, Senators Coons and Curtis. They want to talk about the places that they do have some bipartisanship, but of course we'll push them on Big Beautiful Bill and war powers and all these other things where they may not agree. But we're always thankful when folks agree to come on and have a bipartisan conversation together.
Yeah. Shannon, don't have too hard of a day with the Supreme Court stuff. I know you'll have your hands full in a few minutes.
I've frozen a couple of bottles of water to take out there with me. Not my first rodeo. So 95 degrees, we are prepared for you.
We will be watching, Shannon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Take care. Shannon Bream, she'll be live in front of the United States Supreme Court in that heat in the next 30 minutes. Waiting for those decisions to come down. So stay tuned, because the Brian Kilmeade Show, of course, follows us, and he'll have the very latest on that. Maybe another report from Shannon. We'll be back with Griff Jenkins after this. Griff Jenkins! nothing like a good breaking news day, huh, Griff?
Man, Mark and Kim, good morning. Listen, there's so much breaking news, I don't even know where I am. It's like Griff Jenkins reporting from, where am I, guys? Where am I? What day is it? It's unbelievable. But, you know, you played that clip from that Pentagon press conference, and obviously there was a moment that's making the media headlines where Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, attacked Jen Griffin, our Pentagon correspondent.
Yes.
And that's getting a headline. But I think the thing that was really unique is someone that covers this a lot and has been covering, obviously we're old enough to remember, you know, the Iran history and threat going back 4.5 decades. But I thought the moment that Dan Raisin Cain went into detail talking about the CIA guy that's been sitting on the Fordo target for 15 years and walking us through it was one of the most remarkable things I've ever heard. It's not getting the headline, I think, but man, my jaw dropped, because we typically don't get that amount of detail. And as a guy that, you know, has spent his entire career with a former Marine that dealt with a lot of national security named Ollie North,
yeah,
when he dropped and began to talk about the DITRA, the Defense Threat Reduction Agency,
uh-huh,
they don't talk about that group very often because they're secret. And he really gave, I mean, setting aside some of the you know, pushback and condemnation that Hegseth gave the media, really Cain's remarks are I think you're going to hear more and more former military people, talking heads out there that are, you know, were in the military, are gonna highlight that and say, holy smokes, I can't believe we got that.
Yeah, well, you heard him say to that one reporter, said, when can we see more of this? And Hegseth said, do you have a top secret security
yeah,
clearance, sir?
Yeah.
And then just,
yeah,
shut him down, because you're not going to see some of it. Some of it you can't. No. Some of it you can't prove. And here's what we said earlier. I hate to keep going back to it, but what they described almost sounded like that scene out of Top Gun Maverick, where they're trying to get the missiles down the ventilation shaft, so the first run blows the cover off of it, and the second run the missiles shoot straight down into the Death Star and blow up the underground nuclear facility. That's sort of what it sounded like.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was anchoring Fox and Friends this weekend with my colleague Joey Jones, and he brought that up a couple of times. People on Twitter were like, you're trivializing it like Top Gun. No, it's totally like that run. If people remember that scene. And what's remarkable is, you know, as much as I love Tom Cruise, because I think he's the last living great action hero on the big screen, you know, that was a movie. And this was real life. And they'd never done this. And you know, to have obviously they've been practicing this. Obviously this wasn't something they came up with last minute, but to pull it off to the degree of flawlessness that they did is really going to be a major historical footnote of military greatness and why we are, unparalleled in terms of the greatest military on the planet. I also thought, by the way, if I could just add, the other part that was amazing was these young 44 soldiers that defended with a Patriot battery the missiles that Iran sent to Al Udeid Air Base in Doha, Qatar, and not a single one got through. These are 20-something-year-olds literally standing between Iranian missiles and what could have been a disastrous attack on our base.
And you probably saw the video of from that base of the soldiers cheering as those things were blowing up in the air. It looked like a fireworks display, and I couldn't run into the audio because they were dropping so many F-bombs in the background. So
yeah, exactly. But, I mean, remarkable stuff, and really – you know, I'll say this about the criticism of, in full disclosure, my former colleague and friend Pete Hegseth, and that is, you know, whatever he does in his tenure, the fact that all of the recruitment numbers are soaring off the charts is going to be one of his greatest accomplishments. Because at the end of the day, we hire young men and women to go into combat, fearlessly defend the nation, and pull triggers.
Yep.
And that run was among the best of the best in terms of execution.
Yeah, I saw one of our listeners the other day saying, I heard there'd be a draft, and I'm thinking, no way would there be a need for a draft when you have such high enrollment. People are choosing to be in the military at a rate that we haven't seen in many, many years. Griff, I wanted to ask you about something that you're covering today, and that's all these Iranian nationals who have been arrested here in the United States, and it's across the country. There was actually a map that Fox put up yesterday, and I saw both Missouri and Illinois as states where some of these Iranians have been arrested. Do we have any details on that?
Well, they're all across the country. I mean, we were reporting on, you know, a dozen or so that have been rounded up, and then boom, it escalated quickly. We got information yesterday that ICE has arrested 130 Iranian nationals across the U.S. in the last 7 days, and that ICE currently has 670 Iranians in ICE detention. It comes after the heels of we knew that there was roughly more than 1,500 Iranians came into the country under the Biden administration, of which 700 and something were released. And so obviously they are making a lot of headway towards rounding them up because, look, the potential for an Iranian sleeper cell in the U.S. has gone to a highly serious level with the, you know, DHS putting out that National Terrorism Advisory System saying we're in a heightened threat environment right now. And so, you know, listen, my hat's off to them. I will say this, though. I can't talk about this and not mention that the former Border Patrol chief, Jason Owens, that I spent a lot of time with during the Biden border crisis, I asked him time and time again, what keeps you up at night? And the answer was always the same. It was that among the gotaways would be a terrorist that would carry out an attack because they've only got to be right once.
These Iranians, so, they're not people who have committed crimes before, right? It's just the fact that they're from Iran. That's enough at this point, right? I mean, they're here illegally.
Well, well, in some cases, we reported on an Iranian national in Mississippi that is a KST, a known or suspected terrorist. He's listed as that. We know another individual was an Iranian army sniper, and even a third one had admitted ties to Hezbollah. So, you know, listen, out of the 670 they've got in custody, if three were terrorists, that certainly should give you pause.
Yeah, true. And I think that's a key fact is that the previous administration let some of these people loose into the interior of this country. It's frightening stuff. I tell you what, Griff, we appreciate your time, my friend. Have a great day up there in D.C.
Thanks, guys. And by the way, keep your eye on the Supreme Court. We may get some interesting decisions today. That's going to be a big story.
That is exactly the truth. We appreciate you. Thank you. And I know Shannon Bream's going to be out there reporting live from SCOTUS coming up here at the top of the hour. The Brian Kilmeade Show will have the very latest on that for you. Well, she did it again. Operation Let Her Speak, Kim. Jasmine Crockett, in a House hearing, has decided to attack First Lady Melania Trump.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, I'm going to play the sound for you when we come back. Stay tuned. All right, great to get Griff on here talking about all this, and he's bringing up these issues that are important right now, right? Part of what they're talking about is ICE and how they vet people at the border. That's how the known suspected terrorists got in here, and they're tracking them down, and I feel confident that they're going to do the best job they can. But let's face it, there are millions of people in this country who were allowed in by the previous administration, and we don't know who they are. And that's really the issue here.
The issue with illegal immigration is not a broken, and we don't have a broken immigration system. We don't. We don't. Our immigration system works when you follow the rules. If you want to come in, you go apply in your country. You get on a waiting list. It may take you. I have a friend who came here from Russia. They applied, and 7 years later, out of the blue, they were contacted and said they had been approved.
Wow.
And they dropped everything and moved to the United States. They lived in Russia. And that was years ago. But there's a proper way to do it, and there's an illegal way to do it. We don't have a broken system. We have people who've broken the rules, and we have one political party that doesn't care because they see political benefit out of it, right? Through getting people in here illegally, counting them in the census, and getting extra seats in Congress, which gives you extra electoral votes and tries to help you win more presidential elections. That's what Joe Biden was all about, and he might not even have been fully aware of it. But the people controlling him and the auto pen were most certainly aware of it, right? So the point of that diatribe that it just gave you is that it's not – the problem is the people coming here illegally. It's not visa overstays, although that's a small part of the problem. We've had a few problems with people that came here and stayed beyond their visa. It's our fault for not – setting an alarm and remembering when their visa expired and reminding them they had to leave the country. That's on us. Now Jasmine Crockett in a hearing attacks Melania Trump because she came here on a visa and she didn't come here illegally. She's mad at the kind of visa she got when she was brought into this country. Listen to the brain surgeon Jasmine Crockett criticize Melania Trump's intelligence. Listen.
And since we're talking about integrity, I'm confused as to why my Republican colleagues aren't talking about the lack of integrity when it comes to the president's family's visas. Let me remind y'all that Melania, the first lady, a model. And when I say model, I'm not talking about Tyra Banks, Cindy Crawford, or Naomi Campbell level, applied for and was given an EB1 visa. And what's that stands for is an Einstein visa. Now, y'all that don't know, let me tell you how you receive an Einstein visa. You're supposed to have some sort of significant achievement, like being awarded a Nobel Peace Prize or a Pulitzer, being an Olympic medalist, or having other sustained extraordinary abilities and success in sciences, arts, education, business, or athletics. Last time I checked, the First Lady had none of those accolades under her belt. It doesn't take an Einstein to see that the math ain't mathin' here.
I wonder... other than hood, what other language does Jasmine Crockett speak? Because Melania Trump speaks five languages very well, very fluent in five languages. She's brilliant, number one. Number two, that's not all an EB1 visa does. She way oversimplified what an EB1 visa is. Big companies use them all the time to bring workers here.
Mm-hmm.
She completely misrepresented what an EB1 visa. You don't have to be a Nobel Prize winner to get an EB1 visa.
I would think, you know, leading up to Trump's first term, that Melania Trump, her status, her legal status, would have been highly scrutinized and nitpicked with a fine-tooth comb. And clearly, everything was fine.
Yes. Well, I'm sure it was fine. But again, to ignore the problems... Remember, Jasmine Crockett's mad because they're arresting people in their places of work and other places. You go where they are, right? You. If you're going to go fishing, you don't fish in the middle of a field. You go to a pond. You go where they are. If you're looking for an illegal alien and you know where they work, that's where you go to get them. The left doesn't want you to get them in any way, shape, or form. They'd rather complain about the ones like Melania Trump, who are legal citizens in this country now, but who legally immigrated here. That complete distraction by the left. And it gets back to the fact that we need to let them speak. These folks are about to try to elect a committed socialist who wants to redistribute wealth in the financial capital of the United States in New York City. if that happens, that country, that city is going to go to hell in a handbasket. It's going to be like a third world country. People are going to be fleeing to get the hell out of there. Maybe they'll move Wall Street to Florida. What do you think?
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't that be something? That would be fantastic. All right. So we've covered a lot this morning. There was that news conference earlier. Be sure you can go back and listen to our coverage of that. We started carrying it live at 7 o'clock. And also, we have the Supreme Court decisions coming up. There are some big ones regarding these injunctions that have been laid down against the president by every district judge in America who thinks they're smarter than the president of the United States. They're about to release this Garcia guy. There's a Biden appointee is about to release this guy, even though he's accused of human trafficking. They're going to release him on his own recognizance. And you want to know one of the requirements when he's released? He can have no contact with any of his MS-13 gang associates. So they're admitting in the court documents that he's an MS-13 gang member, and they're still going to release him back into the community. That's never going to happen. ICE is going to pick him up the minute he steps out of that courtroom and ship him back out of the country.
I thought they were keeping him detained because they knew once he was released, he would be deported.
Which
bothers me because you know what that means? That we, the taxpayers, are basically paying for that prison sentence. Or not sentence, but prison stay.
Very true. Keep it tuned right here to 971talk.com because we are going to carry the Brian Kilmeade Show as soon as we're off the air here, and you'll have the very latest as these Supreme Court cases break. And of course, we'll talk about all of them tomorrow morning. We're going to have Congressman Eric Burleson on tomorrow on the Capitol beat about 7:35. So be sure and tune in for that for sure. Have a great day. Kim and Ethan and Sue and I will see you back here Friday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.